Grace, mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel lesson you heard read before, and I read several verses again. Jesus went through all the towns and synagogue villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the text. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. What motivates you for mission? What keeps you going as God's people in carrying out God's mission in this place, especially when the fruits of our endeavours are not always evident? What motivated people down through all the ages to spend their lives in this way? What lies behind it all? The mission to keep on going with God's good news. And maybe more to the point, what does it have to do with us, who in our busy lives hardly have time for our own needs, let alone the needs of God's kingdom? Or perhaps we feel that we are beyond our years of serving. What more can we do? The answer, I believe, to the questions like these are found in the words considering today. What we have, what Matthew records for us in these opening words, is a summary of Jesus' ministry, of Jesus' words and his deeds. Jesus went. He was undertaking a mission. He does not do this on his own initiative. He goes as one sent by God. He carries out God's mission in the world. He is confirmed in that mission and commissioned for that mission by the Father and the Spirit at his baptism. And so he goes on his way teaching, preaching and healing. But why does he do this? What is his motivation? What is happening? The answer is that Jesus is bringing the kingdom of God. Jesus is the messianic king. He comes to reclaim, what rightfully belongs to him as the king of the universe. And so it follows that there is preaching and there is healing of the sick and raising of the dead and driving out demons. In this mission, Satan, the usurper, is being overthrown. Everything under his power is being released, set free through the words and deeds of Jesus. Through his ministry and mission, the message came through loud and clear that God and not Satan is in control. And this is not just ancient history. This is not just what Jesus was on about. This has continued throughout the centuries. This is what God has been doing through the apostles and the faithful people throughout the centuries. This is what Jesus is still actively doing today. Today the same kingdom comes to you. It comes through the church as the church carries out God's mission. And it's not our own doing. This is the mission given to it by Jesus Christ. Through the church, the words and actions of Jesus continue. through the church, the good news of Jesus is proclaimed to you, first of all. Through the sacraments, the good news of Jesus is in action in your life as he comes to forgive you your sins, give you life and salvation in all its fullness. Your Saviour assures you of his love and forgiveness in this sacrament. Sin and Satan, sickness and death still make their presence felt in our lives, though. The troubles and tears and tragedies of life are not suddenly wiped away. There are no miraculous cures, but their power is gone. Satan is defeated. Through faith you are raised from spiritual death and given new life for Jesus' sake. As we reflect on all this, we might wonder what it was that motivated Jesus to do what he did, to carry out the mission of his Father. And we don't have to wonder for very long, because St. Matthew records in today's Gospel that what was it that motivated Jesus for mission? It was compassion. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He saw the need of the crowd who did not have God as their shepherd. Jesus' compassion drove him to, compelled him to act. It took him all the way to the cross where he died for the sins of the world that he might gather all people into his flock. It was compassion that moved him to say to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." How important is it that we heed these words today? It is so easy for us as Christians and as church to take over altogether and to become the centre of everything. We often act as though we were Lord of the harvest, that it's up to us, but the mission is God's. He is the Lord of the harvest. He alone is the one who can call and send people into his harvest field. He not only calls them and sends them, but he gives them a heart of compassion for the lost. He sends them then with this compassion as his authority. He authorizes them to be his agent in the world. But even before he does this, Jesus encourages us to pray, as we see prayer being answered, as we see the Lord of the harvest sending out the 12 disciples, sending out workers into his harvest field. Jesus gives them a power and authority for their work. He authorizes them to act on his behalf. He arranges for the mission of God to be carried out through them. It is he who directs their mission field, according to our text, like that of Jesus himself, would initially be among the Jews, but following Pentecost it would spread and extend to Samaria and to the whole world. As they go, the 12 disciples do not act on their own authority, but they act as agents of Jesus and his representatives. Like him, they are to preach, "The kingdom of heaven is near." They heal the sick, they raise the dead, they cleanse those who have leprosy, and they drive out demons. The Lord of the harvest has been sending workers down through the centuries, authorising them and giving them authority to act on his behalf and to do the work of the kingdom. He has called and sent people with his own heart, with a heart of compassion. Some of them he has also sent to us that he might claim us to himself. Who was it that showed you the Lord's compassion? And what difference has that made in your life? Now, in turn, for us who have received his kingdom, who have seen his compassion and his love for us in Christ, now in turn he directs us to pray. To pray for harvest workers to be sent into the harvest, which is great. Prayer is the first great work that needs to be carried out if the need of harvest workers is to be met. And as we pray, we have to consider too, here and now, how and where the Lord of the harvest wants to use us in his harvest work. What gifts has he given you? What compassion has he given you that you might extend to others? So when we pray for the harvest to be workers for the harvest and wonder where they are, maybe we need to be looking into the mirror and saying, send me. And God's promise is that he will equip us with his compassion and all the gifts that other gifts that we need to carry out this work. But as we pray to him that he will give us eyes and ears to spot the right moment to speak and act the good news of the kingdom, wherever he has placed us. Just like he began, not by taking on the whole world, but in Jerusalem, so we are to speak and act the good news of the kingdom wherever he has first placed us. We don't have to go too far to find people who are lost, people who are in need of Jesus' compassion, in our calling in life, in our families, our congregations, and in our working life. As we are called to pray for the Lord of the harvest, for workers in the harvest, so we will also give praise and thanks to God for all the workers he has sent to carry out in his mission, through whom we and many others have received the blessings of the kingdom and have come to share in the joy in being part of the great harvest to be displayed on the last day. We will celebrate those places where God's harvest is being reaped. So often we don't recognise or we fail to give thanks when we do see an answer to our prayers. So let us be people of compassion. Let us be people of prayer who pray to God for more workers for the harvest. And let us finally celebrate those moments as we see God's harvest being filled in, just as they are today with the baptism of Penelope Mazzeo at the second service. God is at work showing his compassion and his love for her as well as he draws her into his kingdom. And there are many who have not heard that message. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray for workers for the harvest. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. And the peace of God which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.